Hey everybody, and welcome back to Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101, episode 51. Almost done the year, almost done season one, and this week is a very awesome episode. It's actually one of my favorites of the year because I'm speaking to a very young lady by the name of Vicky Lauren, who is preaching powerfully back at her home church, and I just wanted to pick her brain and see why she's able to preach at such a young age so eloquently, so powerfully, and what words would she have to say about having young people be preachers in their local church. What she says is something that I want you guys to hear on this podcast this week, so check it out. All right, welcome back and to another episode of Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101. This day, this episode, I am graced by the presence of Vicky Lauren. So how you doing today, Vicky?
Doing good.
Awesome. It is great to have you on the podcast. So let's first ask you this question. Could you give us a short bio about yourself, and please tell us your age as well in that bio. All right.
Okay. My name is Vicky Lauren. I am 15 years old. I live in Worcester, Massachusetts, and I'm a member of Bethel Haitian SDA Church in Clinton.
All right. All right. So I purposely had you tell your age because, yes, you are under the age of 18, which is a rare occurrence for this podcast, but I wanted to have you on, of course, with your parents' permission, because you preached a sermon not too long ago at Bethel. Am I correct?
Yes.
And it was a very powerful sermon. So I wanted to talk to you about young people preaching the gospel. So, why do you think it is possible and should be done that young people should be preaching in church services and in their community?
Well, it's really the simple cliche answer of we are the youth of tomorrow. We are the upcoming generation. And so, if we aren't prepared to start preaching now in the church while there's still people around, who are we going to preach to? We're going to be parenting future children, and they're going to have to listen to us, but we wouldn't have the wisdom of listening to other people and the practice of giving our own sermons. It's also because we are youth, I feel like people are more enticed to listen to us. 50-50. Some people think you're too young and you don't know what you're talking about, but then there are other people that are like, wow, I want to see their perspective. I want to hear what the youth are thinking. I want to hear what they have to say. And so it's important for us to start preaching because we need to get wisdom from the people who are still in the church but are slowly moving out, and we are slowly moving into their positions so that we can be leaders and mentors to the younger kids that are looking at us as just kids right now but are going to look at us as those adults. That makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. My follow-up question to you is this, then. You're very young, so do you feel like there were some even younger people in the church that were looking up to you when you preached? And did that happen after you preached? Did they come up to you saying, oh, thank you for your word and being brave enough to answer the call? Did that happen?
Well, not from the younger kids per se, because I think it's weird. I think it would be awkward for both me and them if they were to come up to me and say, wow, I really loved your sermon. Like, you inspired me so much. Because it's like, nobody ever really expects that from a kid. Like you said, I'm still one of the youngest to be on this podcast. But the older people, the ones that I was actually a little more apprehensive to what they would have said, they were coming up to me and saying, wow, thank you for this. Wow. I can't believe you're so wise at such a young age. I can't believe this is what the youth are actually thinking. And I'm just like, I wasn't expecting that. But the younger kids, I do think they are paying attention because the younger parents, okay, so we have like our older parents who are raising like the 18-year-olds or 20-year-olds now, and then there are the younger parents who are still raising like toddlers. And so they are see how perverse the world is, and they are trying to teach their kids in the way they should go. And so there are kids who are looking at you and they are speaking as the way kids should be speaking, hopeful of the second coming. But then the older teenagers, they're the ones who have seen the real world in all its ugliness. And so they are the ones who aren't really, they're listening, but they're also just like, yeah, you're just a kid. You don't know what's out there. So people did come up to me, and I do think that the youth, the younger kids are paying attention, even if they don't say it. But the older people are the ones who are more keen to come up to you.
All right. All right. So now that we've talked about that, let's talk about your sermon prep, because I think this is what people who are listening to this podcast are going to be interested to hear about a young person like yourself preaching the word. How does a young person prepare so that they sound not nervous, so they're not reading? Because I think that's one of the things that we are apprehensive, as you used, or afraid to see with our young people when they're told to preach or asked to preach, is they're very nervous or they end up reading the entire sermon. So what did you do to prepare so that you weren't so nervous and you weren't just reading the sermon word for word up on the pulpit?
There really was no preparation to make me not nervous, because I was still nervous as I went up. I think it's just, I remember when you were still at our church and you were trying to get me to preach, and I was just like, I can't preach right now. I have to wait till I'm older. I would do a mess. I'm quaking just thinking about it. I do think as you get older and you start maybe get a little bit taller and you can see people over the podium without a step stool, and you start to have a little bit more practice with like raising your hand in class or just like understand what you're really preaching about, the nerves start to diminish in a way. And you're still always going to be nervous. And I think it's good to be nervous, because if you weren't nervous, then it's like you're not desiring it enough. You're not ready. You're not in it enough. So it is good to be nervous. But really, the advice I would give to not read it word for word is, I really do think it just has to come from you. And it has to be, the way I'm writing sermons, I write it as if I'm talking to a person, not as if it's like bullet notes that I'm going to read off the paper. So that way, it's as if I'm already giving the sermon and I'm just reading as I would talk.
Wow. Nice, nice. So like you said, you say you write it like how you would talk, but do you have like certain arguments that you need to come across, or does this, do you get fully inspired by what the Holy Spirit is bringing to you? Like, really tell us about this process you go through in making the sermon.
Well, I think it's like you have to write what you're passionate about, and you have to write kind of what you think people are gonna like, what's gonna pique their ears and make them say, huh, did she really just say that? Like, where is she about to go with this? And so it's like, you have this opportunity, the floor is yours, you can say whatever you want, essentially. But you remember that you're still in church, and the message you're trying to convey is not about you attacking people or you pinpointing certain people or certain arguments in your message. It's about you simply telling the truth of what is written in the word. So when you're writing a sermon, yes, it's like, what do you really want to get across, and in the most boldest way you can get it across?
Awesome. Awesome. So as people are listening to you, they can tell that you are very eloquent and you are capable of speaking well. What were some of your weaknesses in first preaching? Like, what did you have a bad habit that you had to overcome to be, like, basically what I'm asking here is, what did you have to practice at in the way you talked, in the way you preached, so that you could be a more effective preacher?
Well, for those who don't know, I gave my first sermon at a Wednesday night prayer meeting when I was probably 7 years old. And it was supposed to be Wednesday at prayer meeting, so it's not supposed to be too long, but it's supposed to be like a decent 10-12 minute sermon. And I was 8 and I prepared this sermon, and it was supposed to take me some decent time. But for also those who don't know, I tend to speak very quickly. So I went up to the podium, and I was 8. I didn't really have any practice. I had this sermon that was, I had taken a part in writing it, but it was mostly written for me. And I just stood there, and I could read pretty well. I could speak pretty well, and I just rambled on, and I just said, okay, done. I just didn't know what to go from there. But as I waited a couple years, I was like, yeah, I'm going to wait till I'm older. I'll have more practice. I'll have more experience. I really had to work on myself on speaking slower so people could understand, and putting emphasis on certain words, like really not just reading the sermon, but like living the sermon, and really just trying to bring people in. Like, I'm having a conversation. Like, yes, I'm the one on the podium, but I'm having a conversation with you. I want each individual person to understand what I'm saying and to relate to it.
Wow. Wow. That's so true. It's like the power of the eye contact, the power of the pause, knowing when to pause, the putting the emphasis on the correct word, a smile here and there, basically reacting to what you're saying and not just reading it like a robot or monotonely, can have such a big emphasis on what you're saying. So yeah, it's really good insight that you're giving here. So here's my other question for those young adults who are having their own 8-year-old, 7-year-old, 9-year-old daughter or son, and they feel like they have that kind of calling. They're eloquent at a young age. They're very intelligent. They're very capable at speaking. What advice would you give them when they're put in a situation that happened to you when you were 8, where a church asks them to preach at a Wednesday prayer meeting or on a children's day? What would you give the advice for parents and for that young child?
That's a very good question. You want me to start giving advice to parents?
Oh, yes.
Well, I would say for parents is, because when we're raising children, we're really just trying to feed them the gospel. We want them to grow up and to be the youth of tomorrow. We want them to, you know God as they know God. But when you're raising a 7 or 8-year-old, they don't know God like you know God. They don't know how to pray and fast for days. They don't know how to read the Bible and really understand everything it's saying. So I would say when you're 7 or 8, you still are growing, and you're at that point where you can like make decisions for yourself and you can understand more of what you're doing. So I would let them tell you what they want to say, because don't write it for them. Don't tell them this is what it is. Like, sit down with them, read the word with them, ask them for their interpretation, explain it to them in a way that makes sense. And then let them write the sermon. Let them tell what they want to say. Because if we actually listen to the 7 or 8-year-olds, they have a lot to say. And some of it may be gibberish, but they're so pure-minded that they understand more of the Bible than you would ever, because they can read it in such a pure way. And so for the kid, I would just say, just be a kid. Just write it how you feel. Just speak the way you're moved to speak. Just don't focus too much on the people and doing such a great job, but just like let God use you and just be open to learning and gaining knowledge from everywhere.
Wow. We'll get back to the interview with Vicky in just a second. I just want to remind everyone that you can reach me at Instagram at youth_mentor101, where you can ask me questions, give me feedback on what I can do on this podcast to improve it, or who I should interview next. Also, I just wanted to let you guys know that next week will be another episode with Pastor Wayne Jamel. He is doing an awesome thing with making a comic book or a graphic novel of the story of Daniel. You can check that out at www.danieldreamgazer.com. So we're going to be talking with him and how you can use graphic novels to actually spread the gospel. So let's get back to the interview. My goodness, this episode, I'm just so excited about it, because just to see your growth as a speaker is phenomenal. And it's something that why I talk on this podcast, because it's just seeing that in a young person and seeing their talent and just saying, you know what, this is a spiritual gift. If God has called someone to be used in such a way, I'm not going to be afraid to mentor that person. And one thing I will disagree with you is, because you mentioned a few times, you know, you'd say, I'll wait till I'm older. And that's something I really, I push back against, I would say. And I think you noticed that. I wasn't too keen on hearing that, you know, I'll wait till I'm older. I believe in the other thing that you said, which is I need more practice. I understand that. And I fully support that. But saying you have to wait till you're older, I was like, nah. So I was always, for those that don't know, Vicky was in my home church. So I used to practically every Saturday, when I see her, I would say, when's, are you working on your sermon? And she would say, sometimes no, sometimes yes. So, but to see how you've actually grown, and now when you actually preach the word, it's phenomenal. Though I'm speechless on it. It's like the way, it's like, you know, the Holy Spirit. And that's what I think is so powerful about young people preaching the gospel. It's like, you know, the Holy Spirit is working, because this is someone who is so young. Yes, they may have practiced, but if they're convicting the hearts of 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, people their own age in the congregation, you know it's the Holy Spirit. So,
amen.
What do you got to say about that, Vicky?
Yeah, I do think it's, if I had never been given the opportunity at 7 or 8 to give that first sermon, and then look back on it and be like, wow. Like, I had stuff to say then, but I just didn't know how to say it. Mm-hmm. And so being given that opportunity, and then having the chance later on in life to work on yourself a little more and just tweak stuff and have a new opportunity to, like, rebirth yourself and say, now I'm a little older. I'm still just as young as I was then. Well, no, I'm 7 years older, but I'm still very young. But I still have this platform. I still have this opportunity to go and do better and preach it in a way that's more, people are more, they can understand it better and they can relate to it more. So if I had never been given the opportunity, I don't know if I would have ever gotten into preaching, because I didn't really get into public speaking until last year, freshman year, when our school was having, like, these speaking events on stage, and nobody wanted to go on stage. But growing up in church, you were kind of just forced on stage. There'd be like, yep, you're preaching, yep, you're doing special section, yep, you're doing scripture reading, we need you for this, this, and this. And I'll just be like, but I'm a kid. But forcing you into those positions, then you're like, oh yeah, I'm used to this. And then you're like, wow, now I have a way to better preach the gospel, a way to better formula.
Awesome. So, going along that vein, now that we've talked about preaching inside the church, do you think that your ability to preach on the pulpit has given you a better understanding on how to speak your beliefs to those who may have a disagreement of your beliefs, or who may ask about your beliefs in school and your community? Like, you're in school and somebody asks you, what does it mean to be Seventh-day? Do you feel more confident and able to talk about that?
Because of the experience on the pulpit?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would necessarily relate it to the pulpit. I do think that speaking to a larger crowd of people, it's easier, because then you're like, I've talked to 100 people about this subject. Talking to one person is nothing. But when you're speaking to those 100 people, they're not really speaking back at you. It's more so you've read the word, you've formulated a sermon, you're preaching it to them, and then, yes, they'll come up to you with comments after, or maybe they won't. But it's not really like a direct conversation. But when you're speaking to somebody in school and they're coming back at you with, oh, what about this or what about that, it's a little more difficult, because then you're like on the spot in the sense, and you're trying to give them the answer because you know the word, but explaining it to a way that they're able to understand and able to perceive it, it's a more difficult. I do think that being on the pulpit, it does give you that power, because you've talked about it. You were kind of forced to talk about it because they said, here's the pulpit, we need you to preach. And then when somebody comes up to you, you're like, okay, can you answer this question? I wouldn't put them hand in hand, but I do think it definitely has its like pros and cons.
Nice. Oh man, this is very exciting. I'm just so happy and excited that I got to speak to you about this, because I see you preaching a lot in your future. You're gonna be preaching a lot, and if people are listening to this, and then they're gonna be like, "Wait, this girl is 15, and she's saying such big words." she has been. Let me tell you an insight about Vicky, everyone who's listening. She was able to say a plethora. See, she knows what that word means. It's amazing. A plethora of multiple syllabic words at a very young age. I remember one time, and this is when I really knew that she should be preaching. She said a seven syllable word one time when I was driving her to Pathfinders, and I was just like, my goodness, this young person should be preaching. So we worked together, and I really gave her the advice of learning to speak clearly, not fast, and not to read. I said, once you don't read the sermon and you look at the people in the congregation, your sermon will be powerful. So I instruct anybody who is interested in hearing this, if you go to Bethel Haitian SDA on their Facebook page, the Children's Day, which was, what do you remember what day it was?
September 14th.
Okay. So if you find a video of their live stream from September 14th, you will see Vicky preaching. She's in the middle of the service because they had multiple children preachers. So, Vicky, thank you so much for coming on this podcast, giving insight on what it is to be a teen. Well, I think 15, you're still kind of like the tween age, you know? So you're
20, 19. I think I'm right in the middle, because, yeah. 13 to 19.
Yeah, yeah. You're right in the middle, and you're just, you know, you're a sophomore right now in high school, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, the TLT age, for those who are in Pathfinder ministry, she would be starting her second year, you know, teenager age, all that stuff. So we can use these young people to serve God and to do amazing, wonderful things. So Vicky, as I usually do on this podcast, I give the last word to the guest to give some words of encouragement. So I want you to give words of encouragement to a young version of you, a 7, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old who feels the call to preach God's word, but is afraid because they're saying to themselves, oh my goodness, I am very young. What words would you say?
That's a good question. I would probably say the younger, the better. The sooner you can get yourself out there and start figuring out what your way of speaking is, or what your way of ministry is, or how you can interpret the word and preach it, or just simply display it to others for God's glory, is better. It's like when you start a sport. Yes. It all depends on how hard you work. It's easier, it's better. Sometimes you'll go try out for a sport and you won't make the team, but somebody who's been playing since they were 6 made the team because they've had more experience, they've had more practice. But that doesn't mean you won't make the team. You just have to put in a little more practice. But it's easier if you started from that earlier age. So the younger, the better. The purer your heart is, the more perceptible you are to just hearing God's word and letting him use you, the more you will all be able to work.